This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Allama Ibn al-Qayyim now starts discussing the clothing, and then he moves on from the clothing to things like the handkerchief, people, what they will sit on, the pillows and the couches, and so on and so forth. This particular chapter that we'll be looking at today is about the clothing, the kind of garments, where they will come from, what they will be made of, and somewhat of a description. I don't think there's anything that can actually describe them fully. Garments you have to choose. I mean, that's why we have websites today that have to show you the garment from front and back. They show you a close-up of the texture of the fabric. Because it's very difficult to have just the description of what a color is, because there could be so many different colors and everybody has a different perspective about them. However, we get an idea of some really, really elite, high-level, high-class form of garments in paradise. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dukhan, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُودُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. So here Allah is saying that the people who have taqwa, the muttaqeen people, they will be in a safe place, a safe station, a safe abode, which is fi jannatin wa uyun, in gardens and springs. They will be wearing sundus and istabarak. This refers to two different types of silk. One is a fine silk and the other one is more of a heavy silk. One is a light, fine silk, which is sundus, and istabarak is brocade, a more heavier form of silk. And there's various different types of silk to make different types of clothing and garments. Mutaqabilin, they will be sitting facing one another. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. Verily, the people who believe and do good deeds, we will never make redundant or let go to waste the reward of those who do good deeds, who do good actions. These are the people, for them is Jannatu Adn. For them are those lofty gardens under which rivers flow. يُحَلَّوْنَ, they will be adorned. Tahliya. يُحَلَّوْنَ, they will be adorned, beautified. فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبْ, they will be beautified with bracelets of gold. Bracelets of gold. And they will be wearing in their garments that are green, khudran. Maybe that's where you get the fascination with green and the preference of green in many religious circles. And hence you have green domes and you have many other things. The green is a color of nature. It's a very natural color. It's a color of nature. It's a very delighting color. That if you look at it, it delights you, as long as you've got the right shade of green. And because there is a green which is considered to be the absolute ugliest color in the world. It's a form of a really dirty kind of green brown. And that's why in Australia they've actually obligated that all cigarette packets must be in that color. It's a Pantone color. And you know, in the printing world you have this Pantone booklet, which has literally thousands of colors that you can check up in, and identify from a catalog, choose, and then you'll get the exact same the world over, because it's a very specific color. So there's a color that's considered to be one of the, it's a Pantone, considered to be one of the worst colors, the worst color in the world, and they've obligated the cigarette companies to use that color on their packaging. Right? Deserve the punishment, I think. They're arguing against it, obviously. But the green is also considered to be one of the most beautiful colors. It brings about a lot of delight in the sight because it's very natural. Green is generally the dominant color of grass, of trees, and so on and so forth. So they will be adorned with garments that are green, made from this silken brocade. Muttaki'ina fiha 'ala al-ara'ik, reclining on couches. So again, you have this description that their clothing is all going to be this silk and brocade. So that's how the scholars have discussed this, by saying that these are different types of silk we're speaking about. And Ibn al-Qayyim says that the best color is green, and the softest of material, the softest of natural material, is silk. It's a natural material, very strong, and therefore they've been combined together, green silk, subhanallah, so that it provides soft garments, provides something very delightful to look at. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, as he says in Surah Al-Hajj, وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ, and their garments in there are going to be silk. So just wait up, the men, just wait up for the silk. The women are allowed it in this world. I don't know why women keep saying that they get discriminated against in the Sharia. They get to wear gold, they get to wear silk, they get to beautify themselves. They get to do so many things, but I don't know, there's this idea in the world that you have to do what men do and avoid what men have to avoid or do avoid, and then that means you're a real human being. It's just a sad case. I don't know who started this idea, but subhanallah. So that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Man labisa al-harira fi dunya lam yalbasu fi al-akhirah." The one who wears silk in this world is not going to wear it in the hereafter. Meaning the man. This is referring to men. They're not allowed to wear silk. They won't get it in the hereafter. This is a wa'id. This is a warning. Imam Bukhari, Muslim, many others have related this. Now scholars have discussed this, that okay, we've got a believer. He decides he wants to wear silk. He's a believer though. He says, La ilaha illallah. Eventually he's going to end up in the Jannah because that's a promise. Does that mean now if the majority of garments, if not all of them, are made of silk in paradise, then what is he going to be wearing because he wore silk in the world? Now this has obviously caused some discussion. So now many have said that وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ is مَخْصُوصٌ مِنْهُ الْبَعْضُ, which means that this is not everybody's going to have silk. It's only going to be those men who didn't wear the silk in the world, and for the women. So some have actually gone as far as saying that. However, the majority, the jumhur, they say that this is just like many other warnings that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah about these things, that Allah warns to deter somebody. However, there are a number of things that we do in our life that generally remove any barrier that is brought on with these things. We get forgiveness in a sense, because there's numerous texts in the Quran and Sunnah, and the ijma, the consensus among the scholars, the agreement is that tawbah, when a person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whatever warnings have come about, they are then not applicable to this individual because he's made tawbah. And the one who makes tawbah is like the one who doesn't have any sin. Likewise, there are a number of good deeds that can be done that just automatically efface the bad deeds. وَأَتْبِئِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنَةً. Hadith mentions that if you do end up doing a bad deed, follow it up with a good one and it will erase it. So there are numerous bad deeds that are done, but then numerous good deeds that are done afterwards will efface that. Likewise, any al-masa'ib al-mukaffira, which means those difficulties, calamities that come upon a person, tests and trials that a person perseveres through, that also becomes an expiator of a number of sins. Likewise, du'a'ul muslimin, the prayer of a believer, this also removes these kinds of warnings from us, from being applied to us. And then above all, if nothing else, then, well, there's the shafa'a of the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow to intercede for us. And above all of that, the shafa'a of the Arhamur Rahimeen himself, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowing and permitting us to enter into Jannah. So this is just like, there's another hadith which says, "Man sharib al khamr fi dunya lam yashrabha fil akhirah." Whoever drinks wine in this world will not drink it in the hereafter. Same kind of thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in says Surah Al-Insan, "Wajazahum bima sabaru jannatan wa harira." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them as a reward for their patience a garden and silk. So it looks like silk is a big theme, just like fruit was a big theme to do with eating. Likewise, when it comes to garments, it's a lot of silk in there. And then it says, "Alayhim," in Surah Al-Insan again, "Alayhim thiyabu sundusin khudrun wa istabarak." They will have garments made of this fine silk, green silk, and this brocade. So again, you have this mention again here. And the fact that it says alayhim, it's possible that this refers to outer garments. So these are not just inner garments, but the outer garments that will be worn to adorn oneself with outside. Then this is, I mean, in England, we generally wear outer garments not for decoration, really. We wear it for protection from the cold. Right, generally you get all these big coats and everything like this. If you look in Saudi, I mean, I sometimes wonder why they have to wear those big michlas. I mean, it's hot enough already, right? And then they wear this extra michla on top, and you just wonder why they would do this. And of course, then they have, nowadays they can probably do that because it's just, there's only small amounts, small places where they go where there's no AC, otherwise it's just all AC, isn't it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, mashallah, He's combined all the best of this, what we would conceive to be, you know, conceive to be the best in this world. That means adornments, garments, fruit, you know, in the stomach He gives you pure, all of these pure foods, pure drink, sharab, tahur, and then bangles or bracelets rather, and then clothing, garments of harir. Now it seems like men will be wearing all of this. They'll have some kind of bracelets of gold. Now, I don't know how that's going to look, but I'm just leaving it to there, and we'll leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's very difficult for us to understand that in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says Surah Al-Hajj, "Inna Allaha yudkhilu alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihati jannat." جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ولؤلؤا ولباسهم فيها حرير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter those people who believe and do good deeds into gardens under which rivers flow. They will be adorned in it with bracelets of gold. Bracelets of gold, walu'lu'a, and of pearls. And their garment again in there is going to be silk. So there's a lot of silk there. It looks like when he says asawira min dhahabin walu'lu'a, this means bracelets of gold, bracelets of pearl. So maybe what this means is that some bracelets will be made of gold, some with me or pearl, while others say that no, it'll be gold studded with pearls. And that's a possibility as well. الذَهَبُ الْمُرَصَّعُ بِاللُّؤْلُؤُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَرَادُ. There's a narration by Ibn Abi Dunya from Ka'b. He says that Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَلَكًا مُنْذُ يَوْمَ خُلِقْ. Now listen to this. You know these bracelets and other jewelry in Jannah. The factory has already been started centuries ago. Because it says in this narration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an angel who from the time that it has been created, from the time that that angel has been created, it is just constantly making these, for the people of Jannah, it's going to be making adornments for them until the day of judgment. So that production is taking place. لو أن قلبا من حلي أهل الجنة أخرج لذهب بضوء شعاع الشمس. And this is such a wonderful factory. It's top secret, obviously. Nobody else knows about it, right? You know, nobody has access to it. But it says that if just one of the bracelets of the adornments of the people of paradise were to somehow be revealed outside, it would take away the shining of the sun. Meaning it is just so bright, so glamorous, and so delightful. فَلَا تَسْأَلُوا بَعْدَ هَذَا عَنْ حُلِيِّ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Now, after understanding that this is what the bracelet will be like, don't ask about any of the other adornments of the people of Jannah. Women, don't feel deprived. Don't feel deprived in this world if you don't get too much, if your husband doesn't give you too much, if you can't get all the gold that you want every time you go to Saudi. Your one idea is that I'll also go into those gold shops that surround those hotels very close to the Haram. And subhanAllah, you know, people spend many evenings there looking for a deal or something like this. It's a sad case. People go to Saudi, they buy watches. They go there to buy watches. People go to Saudi, they go there to buy gold. You know, they go there to buy this kind of stuff. It's ajeeb. I'm not saying it's haram to do so, but that shouldn't be the primary reason you go there. Allahu Akbar. There's another narration. It says, Al-Huliyu fil jannati ala rijali ahsanu minhu ala nisa. Ya Allah. Allah knows what this means, but the adornments, the jewelry in Jannah on the men is even better than that is on women. Right? Whether that means men will have better jewelry in Jannah than the women in Jannah, or whether that means that they have better jewelry there than you see on women today. I mean, we do have men who wear jewelry today, right? A certain category of people, they like to wear jewelry and show themselves off. Right? Some Indians have a problem with this. Some Indians have this issue as well. The richer they get, they start adding rings, gold. Right? They start adding rings. Not necessarily the Muslims. The Muslims, when they get wealthy, they buy Rado watches. That's their sign of wealth, Rado watch. So another narration is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is related from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "لو أن رجلا من أهل الجنة اطلع فبدا سواره لطمس ضوء الشمس كما تطمس الشمس ضوء النجوم." That if a man from the people of Jannah was just to look into this world, if it is it's obviously a hypothetical, right? And his bracelet was to become evident for people to see, it would take away, it would basically dim the light of the sun, just like the light of the sun completely dims the light of the stars. There's nothing in comparison. Ibn Wahab, he relates from Abu Umama and Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that Abu Umama mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that the huli of the Ahlul Jannah, which means this jewelry of the people of Jannah, he said, مُسَوَّرُونَ بِالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. They will be given bracelets of gold and silver. مُكَلَّلُونَ بِالدُّرِّ. And they will be wreathed. They will be wreathed with pearls. عليهم أكاليل من در وياقوت متواصلة. And upon them will be wreaths of pearl and of red ruby that will be linked. And وعليهم تاج كتاج الملوك. And upon them will be crowns like the crowns of kings. شباب جرد مرد مكحلون. everyone will be of youthful age, and they will be hairless, jurdan murd, beardless, and mukahhalun with natural antimony in the eyes. That's why in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is from Abu Hazim. He said that I was once behind Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu while he was making making wudu for salat. So while he's performing wudu for salat, he was behind him. It seems like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu did not know this, that he was being watched. So what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was doing was that when he's making wudu, so you're supposed to wash your arms until above the elbows. He was going all the way to the top. He was washing all the way up to the top, to the shoulder, it seemed. So he said to him, Ya Aba Huraira, ma hadha al-wudu? What kind of a wudu is this, Abu Huraira? So Abu Huraira suddenly said, Oh Banu Farrukh, are you here? You've been watching. If I knew that you were here, then I wouldn't have done this wudu. I've heard my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that تبلغ الحلية من المؤمن حيث يبلغ الوضوء حيث يبلغ الوضوء, which means that the adornment, the jewelry on a believer in the hereafter will be as far as the wudu reaches, as far as a person has washed in wudu. Now, because of this, some have said that it's actually mustahab to go all the way to the top. Some have said that. However, Ibn al-Qayyim says that the sahih opinion is that no, you don't. It's not all the way to the top. And this is the opinion of the Ahlul Madina, that it's not mustahab to do that. And this is, Imam Ahmad has two opinions on this. The hadith doesn't indicate that you have to go all the way to the top as well. Because generally, if you've got bangles and bracelets and everything on, even on women, it don't go up to the top there. It's generally on the forearm. So it doesn't go all the way up there. So it's just talking about washing properly. But of course you do a bit more. You don't go all the way up to the shoulder. Otherwise, I mean, you probably wet everything anyway. That's why he says that even this hadith, when he says, فَمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ, whoever wants to extend his light, because all the parts of wudu that are washed will have a light on the Day of Judgment. So if everyone's to extend that, then they should do that. That doesn't mean that you wash all the way to the top. It just means wash it properly and a bit more. In fact, he says that this addition is from Abu Huraira. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ said, that you should carry on beyond. This is Abu Huraira's understanding. Wallahu a'lam. Now there's another really wonderful narration which is related from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. He says that a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, akhbirna anil hijra. Tell us about emigration. Ilayka. Now look, I mean, subhanAllah, he's a Bedouin, but he's very specific in his question. He says, tell us about the migration. Ilayka aynama kunt. Does it have to be to you wherever you are? Like we have to come and move to wherever you are. Am li qawmin khasa? Or is it just, does it only apply to a specific people? Am ila ardi ma'luma? Or does it have to be towards a particular area? Am idha mitta inqata'at? Or when you pass away, then there's no more migration. So what is the migration exactly? And he asked three times, then he sat down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't respond to him straight away. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent for a while, and then he said, Aina sa'il? Where is this questioner who had this question? Ha huwa dha ya Rasulullah. This is he, ya Rasulullah. He says, Al-Hijra. The Prophet ﷺ then explained to him the whole purpose of migration. It doesn't have to be the physical movement. It's the spirit of what you have to do within that movement. So he's saying that Al-Hijra, the Prophet ﷺ said, And dahjur al-fawahish ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. It's that you abandon all forms of immorality, that which is apparent of it, that which is hidden of it, that which is openly done, that which is hidden and done within privacy. وَتُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, that you establish the prayer. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ, give zakat. ثُمَّ أَنْتَ مُهَاجِرٍ, then after that you will be considered a muhajir. وَإِن مِتَّ بِالْحَضَرِ, even if you die in basically residency in your own city, you will then be considered a muhajir, because muhajir comes from the word hajara, which means to abandon, which means to leave off sins. So that's the main purpose of it. Another person then stood up, another person stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni. Now he's got this completely different question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni an thiyabi ahlil jannah. Atukhlaqu khalqan am tunsaju nasjan. Now what a very specific question. Imagine what he was thinking about. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when you're telling me about the garments of the people of Jannah, will they be just created spontaneously like that? Or will they be woven? Will they be woven, or are they just going to be coming out of nothing? فَضَحِكَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ. Now some people began to laugh. You know when you chuckle at somebody's strange question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look what he said. He said, تَضْحَكُونَ مِنْ جَاهِلٍ يَسْأَلُ عَالِمًا. You are laughing at somebody who is unaware, who is asking a knowledgeable person. You're asking a jahil who's asking an alim. You're laughing about that. This is exactly what people should do when they don't know. فَسَكَتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَاعَةً. He remained silent for a while. Then he said, أَيْنَ السَّائِلُ. Where is the person who asked the question? فَقَالَ هَا هُوَ ذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He's here. قَالَ لَا. He said, no. بَلْ تُشَقَّقْ عَنْهَا ثَمَرُ الْجَنَّةِ. The trees of Jannah will split to reveal them. As we mentioned before, right? Although this is a chapter now about it, but we mentioned before that the garments will be produced from the trees. Completely natural. And today you have, you know, as I said, you have garments made out of fibers that come from trees. And, you know, our trees are quite basic. But when you go into the African, the jungles and South America, etc., you have various different things, especially palm fibers. You have all of these different fibers that come from different trees. And today, you know, you're making socks with bamboo fiber. It's supposed to be, very good, very aerating. Supposed to allow the feet to breathe and so on and so on. So you have a lot of this stuff anyway. So these plants and trees of paradise are going to be really wonderful. They're going to produce many different things. They've been completely genetically modified to be the best in every sense. That's basically what it is. So he said that's what's going to happen. They're going to come from the trees. Another narration from Imam Ahmad. And we've probably read this hadith a few times before, but I'm just going to mention that what النَّصِيفُ إِمْرَأَةٍ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمِثْلُهَا مَعَهَا. That just the scarf, the hijab of a woman of Jannah is going to be superior to that of the dunya. That means the women in Jannah have scarves. Right? They have scarves. Now if you've got a scarf, I'm sure you don't just put it over your chest and then you fling the two parts behind your back like Indians do and Pakistanis do. I just don't get that. Right? They get scarves and then they put them at the front and then they throw the two tails at the back. They don't put it on their head. It's to basically conceal the chest. That's basically what a scarf is. It's really weird. You know, it's really weird how different cultures look at these things. I was speaking to this old Pakistani auntie. And she's talking about, I think, her daughter-in-law or whatever. And she's saying, she shows her chest. You know, you can see her chest. This auntie doesn't even cover her hair. But they find it more worse that somebody doesn't have a scarf like in this style on top of their chest. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. You know, it's at least they've got that much modesty. But every culture has these different idiosyncrasies that you have. But apparently these... I'm quite sure this is not going to be like, you know, the Indian scarf. This is going to be probably a scarf in some really beautiful way, elegantly done. Right? And probably not those YouTube scarves as well that all these people put up and all these women watch this and they have like millions of hits. It's like a craze out there, man. Subhanallah. There's another narration from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ar-rajul fil jannah la yattaki'u 70 sanatan qabla an yatahawwal." A person in paradise, he's just going to be reclining, just relaxing after all of that torment, after all of, you know, everything that you go through. He's just going to relax, it seems, for 70 years before he even moves. Now, what's 70 years in eternity? You know, like it doesn't seem like much. I don't even know how we're going to look at it. I cannot fathom how we're going to spend the day, how it's going to be, how you're going to think. Because, you know, life in this world, subhanAllah, is under so much pressure. We're always, you know, doing it according to the next target that we have. And that really takes away a lot of barakah, you know that. That's why when people ask me for programs, I'm saying, look, don't, unless it's foreign programs or, you know, like something, I say, look, ask me 6 weeks before maximum, 4 to 6 weeks before. Because you know when your diary gets full for the next 3 months, all the barakah goes because you just know that your 3 months are fixed. So you're this one, and then it's this one, and it's this one, and it's this one, and it's this one. SubhanAllah, that's what it is. Now in Jannah, imagine what it's going to be like. You're going to have just so much time. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person is just going to recline like that for 70 years before he moves. Then a woman is going to come to him and strike him on the shoulder, like touch him. He's going to look at his face in her cheek, and it is more clear than a mirror. That is how beautiful this. He's going to be able to see his own cheek in his own face in her cheek. And it says, وَإِنَّ أَدْنَى لُؤْلُؤَةٍ عَلَيْهَا لَتَضِيءُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Even the most inferior or the smallest of the pearls on her will be able to light up the east and the west. You just wonder what that's going to be like. فَتُسَلِّمَ عَلَيْهِ. He will say, As-salamu alayk. She will say, As-salamu alayk. He will respond. He will ask her, who are you? Says, Ana al-mazid. I am the extra. I am the additional bonus. And she will have on her, now this, I cannot understand this, but I'm not going to deny it. Who am I to deny something I've never seen? Right? He's going to have 70 garments on her, clothing, cloth, 70 sheets, however you want to call it. 70, you think, how are you going to carry that 70? But we're looking at it from our perspective. It could be just something very thin, very fine, and you just need it to provide the elaborate. I mean, you know, you see these princess dresses, these wedding dresses, they're so complicated, they are so elaborate, they have various different layers. So this is probably something like this. أَدْنَاهَا مِثْلَ النُّعْمَانِ مِنْ طُوَى. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. The smallest of it, or the most insignificant that you will consider of it, is like the Nu'man from Tuwa, from the Valley of Jannah. I'll explain what Nu'man is later. It's like a Spanish marigold. It's a particular type of flower. That is the lowest of it. There's quite a bit of this in the Mediterranean. That's why he's mentioning this. فَيَنْفَضُهَا بَصَرُهُ. Now there's 70 layers of this of sheet in this garment of hers, right? But he will be able to see through all of that. This is just for him, right? حَتَّى يَرَى مُخَّ سَاقِهَا مِنْ وَرَاءِ ذَلِكَ. He'll be able to see the marrow of her shins from behind it. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَتِّيجَانَ. And they will have crowns on their head. وَإِنَّ أَدْنَى لُؤْلُؤَةٍ عَلَيْهَا لَتَضِيءُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Even the smallest of the pearls on there will light up the east and the west. So they say that rather than, you know, they say that what is more sensual is not full nakedness, but revealing enough to allow your desires to be creative and to think and to want and to be curious as to what's behind. And that's what it seems like. This is going to be the most elaborate form of dress that they could attract a man by. To have all of these layers, but yet you can kind of see through them. How that's going to be, as I said, I don't know, right? But I will never deny that. Ibn Abi Dunya has another narration from Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا انْطَلَقَ بِهِ إِلَى طُوبَى. Any one of you that enters Jannah, he is going to be taken to the Tuba. Tuba is a valley in Jannah. فَتُفْتَحُ لَهُ أَكْمَامُهَا فَيَأْخُذُ مِنْ أَيِّ ذَلِكَ شَاءَ. And its various parts will open up for him, and he'll be able to take whatever he wants. إِنْ شَاءَ أَبْيَضْ. He can choose a white one. He can choose a red one, green, yellow, black. مثل شقائق النعمان. وأرق وأحسن. This شقائق النعمان is this flower. It's called the anemone coronaria. If you want, you can go and check it up online. It's called the anemone coronaria, which is like a Spanish marigold. It's flowers of these various different colors that in the Mediterranean. So you can take any of these you want. Another narration is from Ibn Abbas, somebody asked Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, ما حلل الجنة? What will be the garments of the paradise people? He said, فيها شجر, there's trees in there. فيها ثمر, كأنه الرمان. Those trees will have certain fruits that are like pomegranates. فإذا أراد ولي الله كسوة. Whenever any of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want a garment, in حضرت إليه من غصنها, one of its branches will just roll down towards him. فانفلقت عن سبعين حلة. This is how the trees will provide. And they will split to reveal suits, to reveal the garments, the suits. ألوانا بعد ألوان. You know, people go to Green Street, Stratford Road in Birmingham, right? And they go to Leicester and other places for these kind of garments and everything like that. So this tree will just فانفلقت, split to reveal 70 garments, color after color. You choose whatever you want. ثم تنطبق فترجع كما كانت. And then after that, once you've taken what you need, it'll just all go back. Like perfect system. It's like really perfectly manufactured and set up. And then we'll just all go back. Subhanallah. Another narration from Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person said to him, Ya Rasulullah, tuba liman ra'aka wa amana bik. Glad tidings for the one who's seen you and who has believed in you. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tuba liman ra'ani wa amana bi. Yes, definitely glad tidings for the one who's seen me and believed in me. وَطُوبَ ثُمَّ تُوبَ ثُمَّ تُوبَ. However, glad tidings, then more glad tidings, then more glad tidings. لِمَنْ آمَنَ بِي وَلَمْ يَرَنِي. Who believed in me but never has seen me. Which means our, mashallah, everybody after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ رَجُلٌ. So then somebody said to him, وَمَا تُوبَ. What is this tuba you speak about? I translated it as glad tidings. He said, وَمَا تُوبَ قَالَ شَجَرَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Right? So he said, no, the meaning is, it's a tree in Jannah, مَسِيرَةُ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ. It is the distance of about 100 years. ثِيَابُ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And the garments of the people of Jannah, تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَكْمَامِهَا, will come from its branches. So now we know the source of our garments in paradise. Another narration from Abu Hurairah. دار المؤمن في الجنة لؤلؤة فيها شجرة تنبت الحلل. The house of a believer in paradise is going to be made of pearl, in which there is a tree that grows your clothing. فيأخذ الرجل بإصبعه وأشار بالسباب والإبهام سبعين حلة متمنطقة باللؤلؤ والمرجان. A person will grab with his finger, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم indicated with his two fingers. He said there will be 70 suits in there which will have belts of pearl and large stones. Ka'b then relates, لو أن ثوبا من ثياب أهل الجنة لبس اليوم في الدنيا لصعق من ينظر إليه وما حملته أبصارهم. Just a single garment of the garments of the people of Jannah, if it was to be worn in the dunya, anybody who looked at it would just faint. They would not be able to bear it with their sight. They would not be able to behold it with their sight. It's just so wonderful and dazzling that they will not be able to take it. In the Sahihain, from Anas ibn, in the Bukhari Muslim, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, it says that, this just provides an example. Just says that, you know, Uqaydar, who was the ruler of Dumat al-Jandal, one of the leaders in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gifted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a jubba, right? You can say a tunic of sundus, of this wonderful fine silk. فَتَعَجَّبَ النَّاسُ مِنْ حُسْنِهَا. People were just wondrous about its beauty. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you're wondering about this. You know, you go to some of these high-end stores and they have, I'm not talking about those catwalk stuff, it's just stupid, right? Those skimpy outfits that they have, that's just ridiculous. Talking about some serious garments when you go to some of these stores. He says that you people are astonished by this, taken up by this. لَمَنَادِيلُ سَعْدٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ هَذَا. Just the handkerchief of Sa'd, just the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is referring to. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, which is the chief of the Aus of Medina. Wonderful, very respected individual, right? Very respectable, dignified man. He said his handkerchiefs are superior to this in paradise. You're worried about this. He said, that's even better. That's why another hadith in Bukhari Muslim says, the Prophet ﷺ was once given a garment of silk and people were just like, wow, how soft is this? And the Prophet ﷺ said, you're wondrous about this. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah has his handkerchief is better than this. Now, what you have to understand here is why mention Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, right? Why not somebody else? Because number one, he's among the Ansar, like they say Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is among the Muhajireen. You know, as respected as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is among the Muhajireen, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is as respected among the Ansar. And he is the one for which the Prophet ﷺ said, اِهْتَزَّ لِمَوْتِهِ الْعَرْشِ. The arsh, the throne of Allah shook when he passed away. And he was somebody who was just very straightforward. And he didn't care about anybody complaining or any criticism when it came to doing something for the sake of Allah. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him death through shahada. Because he was struck in some major artery and they couldn't stop it. And then eventually he passed away. He always gave preference to the satisfaction of Allah and His Messenger over the satisfaction of his people or whoever it was. That was something very difficult to do in those days. And the command that he had given with regards to the Jewish Yahud tribe at his time when they traitored, this was the same hukum, same judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with. And that's why when he did pass away afterwards from that major bleeding artery, then Jibreel alayhi salam came and gave his announcement of his death to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course then his handkerchiefs are going to be like that in Jannah. They're going to be better than the garments of any of the kings of this world. So there you go. That gives us a roundup of where your clothes are going to come from, what they're primarily going to be made of, and it gives you some amount of idea of the description. They're going to be very elaborate, layer upon layer, sewn together, brought together in this very elaborate way that will not make you hot. It will just be perfectly temperatured, despite the fact that it has so much. It's amazing. It's amazing. And another thing is, today, less is more, right? This is the time we're living in, where less is more. However, historically speaking, they always had some, you know, they always had more, which was more elaborate. While today, it's more about showing your skin, right? That's basically, it's really unfortunate that you just have to show it in various different ways. You cover up one part and you show another part. And then tomorrow you show another part and you show this part. It's just about showing various parts. And then when they get tired of that, they just take everything on and go on to Playboy. Right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us of this Jannah. Allah grant us. I really believe that inshaAllah. I really have a hope that if Allah has given us the tawfiq to cover this book, to learn about this house, to read this massive brochure we have that Ibn al-Qayyim has prepared about paradise, then inshaAllah, you know, when you keep looking at something, hopefully one day you'll get it. InshaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannatul Firdaus wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.